Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the words hamburger, ice cream, and karaoke. Now, it's important to understand this is not a global ban, which is normal for us, or even a local ban in the United States. Rather, this is a cancellation specifically in the people's idyllic democratic paradise of North Korea, where dear beloved leader Kim Jong-un has issued a guidance to tour guides at resorts that cater to Westerners to avoid using these terms that embody, symbolize, and glorify the decadent Western culture. The problem is that South Koreans have become so enamored of the Western world that they have allowed their language to be polluted and corrupted by anglicized terminology, and Kim is just trying to protect the purity of his people's culture and, we must assume, his own precious bodily fluids. So now, those who interact with Westerners are undergoing an updated re-education seminar that will realign their words to reflect traditional North Korean language and values instead of the defiled South Korean culture with its bastardized language. For example, ice cream will no longer be called ice cream, but will now be referred to as Eseukimo, the traditional Korean word for Eskimo. We're not quite sure why he chose Eskimo, since ice cream isn't usually the sort of thing that people in sub-zero biomes crave, but regardless of the sense of it, we cheer for the renaming as we do for all language shifts. Second word, karaoke, which comes from the Japanese word for empty orchestra. We're told that Kim doubly despises this term since oki derives from the English word for orchestra, but of course the entire term comes from Japan, not even Korean at all. So now when tourists want to drink and sing badly to music with little balls bouncing across the lyrics, they will go stand at the on-screen accompaniment machines. Same concept, just weirder terminology. Third, and perhaps most gloriously, Dear Leader has outlawed any use of the word hamburger, which obviously comes from the great Satan of, you know, us. The new mandatory term for hamburger will be Dajin Gogi Gie Opang, or double bread with ground beef, which, whether in Korean or in English, just rolls off the tongue. But that's the point of relanguaging. It's supposed to be awkward, since it's the anguished struggle to speak correctly, or at all, that best proves our virtue. And what could force people to think positive thoughts about their love for the glorious leader Kim Jong-un and their own personal purity any better than having to say words which no mouth can properly pronounce? Like, I'll have a double bread with ground beef, two sour brined cucumber slices with processed salted tomato puree, and three translucent subterranean vegetable rings. Hold the fermented processed dairy product, if you don't mind. But, you know, in Korean, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we really need to take some time to consider the major events that have taken place in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk execution, most notably the indefinite suspension now of Jimmy Kimmel for his comments. Now, I know many of you are frustrated that two of our favorite late-night culture priests are about to depart the space. First, Stephen Colbert, and now, of course, Jim Kim. And yes, I know it feels like a big setback for our cause and a loss of free speech, but I want to tell you that the Fourth Interdisciplinary Committee on the Deconflicting of Recurrent Hypocrisy has ruled that the current state of affairs is actually very good for our cause, the grand cause of wokeism. For one thing, they wanted me to pass along their praise to everybody for doing a really great job of making it seem like the deplatforming of Jimmy Kimmel over his comments about the Charlie Kirk killing is far worse than even the actual killing of Charlie Kirk. You've been doing a fabulous job of loudly complaining about the temporary silencing of Jimmy Kimmel after barely criticizing the permanent silencing of, you know, Charlie Kirk. This, of course, follows all the very good work you did in reframing the entire Charlie Kirk assassination as a referendum on his most infamous comments rather than a discussion about political assassination. Those 3 summers in advanced elective seminars on the art and practice of distraction and attention shifting have really been paying off, so well done. For another thing, the committee reminds us that the things happening in our culture right now are actually working to our benefit, not the right. I know you're all concerned about people being fired for their comments, and yes, we're going to lose some waiters and some teachers and some media personalities in the short run, but trust me, this is great news long run. Because the only thing really standing in our way before was the principled defense of freedom, which only the right was preaching. And now that they've abandoned their ability to complain about cancel culture, since they're so openly practicing it themselves, We no longer have to worry about seeming to be against freedom and tolerance. Right now, everybody's against freedom and tolerance. We've finally agitated them into giving up their core beliefs and becoming just like us. They're eagerly surrendering essential freedom in order to get a little temporary security. Bravo! Now, all we have to do is wait for the pendulum to swing power back in our direction, and nothing at all will stand in our way to fully and finally purge them mercilessly from our society. See, the reason we hadn't been able to do this before is because there were still people who believed in that quaint old idea of defending the speech rights of people who disagree with them. Also, and I don't want to announce this too prematurely, but I think we may be seeing the total abandonment of their supposed religious commitment to the principles of charity, grace, mercy, and kindness. This is so fantastic to see because now there's no moral high ground anymore. Just who's better at manipulation and being ruthless. And since we have the artists on our side, we feel confident we can win the propaganda war long term. So great news for the armies of progressivism everywhere. The arc of the moral universe really does bend toward the woke. Now, I know it feels scary because President No Way Jose is currently challenging the broadcast licenses of ABC and CBS, as well as calling to fire Seth Meyers and even Jimmy Fallon. But you gotta think long term. Our best chance to capitalize on all this government censorship is to continue to let him keep abusing his power, which we can use against the Republicans in 2026 midterms by saying we will restore freedom of speech. Of course, we're only going to be saying that to get elected, knowing full well that once we're back in power, and hopefully the White House in 2028, we will do the exact same thing the Republicans are doing and deplatform all the homophobes and racists and sexists, you know, all the straight white men who've been ruining things for 246 years. Now, this may sound to you like a long shot, because you're caught in the doldrums of the moment. But trust me, this is high probability winning political strategy. And the current administration's playing right into our hands. When Attorney General Pam Bondi says she'll use the government to punish hate speech, awesome! Hate speech is our game, baby! When Vice President J.D. Vance tells his audience to contact the employers of anyone who says what they dislike on social media, cool! Accountability is our game, baby! I mean, the chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr, actually told a podcaster that TV station licenses could be revoked if broadcasters don't start controlling the content of their political coverage. Do you remember just a few years ago when they criticized the Biden administration for suppressing anti-vaxxers and mass skeptics on Twitter during COVID? Well, what you remember, they've clearly forgotten because they've come all the way over to our side and are actively using government agencies to coerce speech content on TV. They're literally following our playbook. As if they've been reading the protocols of the elders of anti-Zion in their spare time. You see, not only has the right abandoned its long-standing opposition to political correctness, cancel culture, and government censorship, they're even engaging in our most sacred tactic of distorting vocabulary by using terms with positive connotations to relabel a practice they previously opposed. Obviously, we've always been big champions of accountability, because that makes it sound like people deserve to get punished for saying things we don't want to hear. And of course, usually the right, and even some on our side, have called this censorship or repression or creating a chilling effect on speech. But no longer. No less a person than White House Deputy Chief of Staff Taylor Budowich even announced on X, "Welcome to the consequence culture." Consequence culture? Oh, we love that. We believe in cancel culture, which inflicts accountability on people for saying conservative things. And now they believe in consequence culture, which inflicts accountability on people for saying liberal things. This is a dream come true. So even though it'll hurt in the short run, trust us, this all works toward our objectives of limited freedom government-run society in the long run. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a quick but intense burst of praise for Ben Stiller, who reacted to the news about Jimmy Kimmel's indefinite suspension when he boldly declared, quote, "This isn't right," end quote. And then, just as boldly, disabled comments on the post. Symbolically, we have never before seen such a superior demonstration of our very core beliefs of self-righteousness and self-contradiction. He literally stood up for free speech by shutting off free speech. At this point, we have to just sit back, look on in wonder, and give our heartiest praise to such a shamelessly hypocritical display. Mr. Stiller, we stand in awe of thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you leave today, be sure to stop by the folding tables and back and sign up as part of the visitation team for Annette Franklin, who's been bedridden since Monday's traumatic and debilitating incident. Painfully, our dear sister was driving on Nine Mile Road going west toward Highway 29, decided to stop in for some groceries at the new Aldi. Unfortunately for Annette, she had not been aware that there is a new Tesla dealership going in at the same location. Well, we can all imagine the shock, horror, and panic that would beset any of us who suddenly and unwittingly came so close to a long line of Cybertrucks and Model 3s. Naturally, she suffered an anxiety attack and had to be treated medically by EMS. She's just lucky she didn't crash her car from the shock. But she's doing better now. She finally started eating solid foods and talking with the nurses just this morning. Gaia-luya.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.